The Lord be with you.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Jesus was praying in a certain place. And when he had finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray just as John taught his disciples." And he said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone in debt to us, and do not subject us to the final test.'" When he had said this to them, "Suppose one of you had a friend to whom goes at night and says, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, for a friend of mine has arrived at home, my home, from a journey, and I have nothing to offer him.' And he says in reply from within, 'Do not bother me. The door already has been locked, and my children and I are already in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything.' I tell you, if he does not get up to go to the visitor the bread because of their friendship, he will get up and give him whatever he needs because of his persistence. And I tell you, ask and you will receive. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and the one who knocks, the door will be opened. What father among you would hand his son a snake when he asks for a fish? Or hand him a scorpion when he asks for an egg? If you then, who are wicked, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who seek him?" The Gospel of the Lord.
Today we have a special guest, Deacon Al, who is joining us from the Lay Missionary Helpers here in the Archdiocese. He's, luckily for you guys and for me, because I get a break, he's going to be preaching today, so you don't have to listen to me, and I get to sit down and actually listen to another homily. So this is a good day for me. Deacon?
I think you liked that, didn't you? Good morning, everyone. Oh, you're alive. Wonderful. Once again, my name is Deacon Al Austin. I'm from the Archdiocese of Los Angeles. I'm married to a loving and supporting woman, Rita, for over 45 years. We have been blessed with 4 adult children, 10 grandchildren, and 1 great-granddaughter. I'm retired from the steel mill business in Fontana, called California Steel Industries. I was their mechanical design engineer and project manager for over 26 years before I retired. I'm from the friendly parish of Holy Name of Mary in San Dimas, where I've been assisting as a deacon for over 15 years. I'm presently serving on the Board of Governors of the Lay Mission Helpers Association of Los Angeles. I'm honored, and thanks to the Archdiocese Mission Appeal Office, Monsignor Al and Father Andrew, to share with you a little of my call to mission. this morning as a veteran lay mission helper. One Sunday morning during the Lenten season, I approached a pastor after Mass and asked him, can a lay person go to the missions and do not have to be a religious? You see, I was living well and wanted a different challenge in my life. Something was unsettling in me. He said, yes, there is. It is called the Lay Mission Helpers in Los Angeles, one of the most active organizations in the country. He gave me the phone number of the office. I interviewed, and the rest is history. I remember it took me months before I could get enough courage to tell my mother that I was going to the missions. She asked me, where are you going? And I told her, a place called Papua New Guinea. Where is that? I had to get a globe to show her. I said, here's Los Angeles. And all the way around here, some 18,000 miles, is Papua New Guinea. She asked me, why so far? Isn't there anything closer? I said, no, Ma, this is where I'm assigned to go. I had to assure her that I would be back and I'd be all right. My sister thought I had just lost my mind, knowing that I was giving up a nice new apartment, a new car, etc., for the unknown. She thought I needed some medical attention. So in January of 1972, I took off for Papua New Guinea, a group of islands off the north coast of Australia and Indonesia. It would be a four-year tour from 1972 to 1976. I was sent to a thriving coastal town called Wewak, which is off the north coast of the country. My assignment was to teach young boys between the ages of 12 to 15 who could no longer continue their public education because they were part of the one-third of the students with a fourth grade education could continue. The two-thirds were dropped from the system, and so the vocational schools welcomed them, boys and girls, to learn a trade in order to give them some sense of self-worth. I taught basic carpentry skills as well as managed a carpentry shop located on the mission grounds. We made tables and chairs and desks, bed frames, bookcases, etc., out of wood and sold them to the schools in town and in the rural mission stations in the interior. I enjoyed the challenge and working with young boys. However, working with the boys and managing the shop, was that all it would be to my mission assignment? However, after living there for a few months, I began to wonder, what was I doing there? And thanks to a longtime wise missionary priest who asked me a question. He said, how did you live in America? And I said, I lived well. I was on my own. I lived by myself, attended Mass regularly. I thought I was just living a normal Christian life. And then he said to me, do that here. I said, what? Do that here. The people here, especially Catholic Christians, need to see and know what that is like. They need to see, especially a young man with the same skin color, living in their country, who is willing to live amongst them.
and they have only the presence of a bishop, a priest, religious nuns, and religious brothers as witnesses and examples on how to live a good Christian life. He said that you are the first American layperson who is not a religious in this part of the country. By you living your life as a good Catholic Christian, they can see what it is like to live a meaningful, natural Christian life as an ordinary layperson in community and in the church. Suddenly, I realized it was not so much what I was doing that was so important, but that why and how I was living was my primary purpose for being there. I was called to live my life as an everyday person. I didn't need to do anything different or special. It was my journey of faith in God and how I valued that faith. And they needed to see and know that. Needless to say, my understanding of being there changed dramatically, whether out in the public or on the mission grounds. It was important to carry myself accordingly. One of the pastimes in Papua New Guinea at the time was basketball. And they played it rather seriously. And so getting involved with them, you're not going to believe this, but I played center. Really. And taught them some of the skills I knew. And it enhanced their skills. So much so that in the 75 Pan Am Games, I was invited to coach a team for New Guinea to participate. But I declined. And I said, let someone from the country go. I'm not a New Guinean. I'm an American. Let them experience that level of competition. When I arrived in Papua New Guinea, I was waiting in the waiting area for the next flight. And while I was there, the young kids began to just gather around me. I guess they were curious. And they talked their language to me. Well, of course, I didn't answer because I didn't know what they were saying. And then one said in English, where are you from? And I said, I'm an American. You're an American? I said, yeah, I'm here from America. And then they said, well, do you know Sidney Poitier? I said, yeah. He says, are you related to Will Chamberlain? I said, no. There's a lot more black people in America than Sidney Poitier and Will Chamberlain. But this gave me a hint of what was to become my mission. And that was to live my ordinary life amongst those that didn't really completely understand what it is to be Christian and be a witness and share my journey with them and for them to teach me how to live a simple life. Today's scripture reading teaches us on the quality of prayer, what and how to pray, to be persistent and trusting that God listens to our prayers. Since its humble beginning in 1955, the Lay Mission Helpers Association has sent over some 750 men and women, some with families, to the missions. It has missioned in 4 continents, 36 countries, and presently it is in 2 missionaries in Ghana and a family in Honduras. Those that were in New Guinea had to return because of the pandemic. Their longtime assignments
minimum 3 years, and short-term assignments. Some of the greatest needs are in Uganda. It's a badly need for radiologists. In Ghana and Honduras and Papua New Guinea need teachers, especially in the sciences. There are also a need for project managers who specializes are needed everywhere. Today's gospel challenges the early apostles and us on how much do we believe in Jesus and trust in him. How far or to what extent will you sacrifice for him? Many apostles left Jesus. The 12 disciples remained with him. The call to serve and journey in the name of Jesus can be a daunting task. If you feel the call to serve God in a special way, it could haunt you until you say, "Yes, Lord, I'm here to do your will." Because it will not leave you alone until you do. Many are called, huh? But few are chosen. So ask God in your prayers, "Is missionary life something you want me to do? Show me. Your servant is listening." Since the organization is a ministry of service in the diocese, we rely totally on donations to support this needed ministry. No offering is too small through the blessings of God. Once again, thank you, Monsignor and Father Andrew, for your hospitality, the invitation and continued prayers, and your financial support. There should be these green envelopes that you'll find in the pews. May our Lord God continue to shower you with his grace and blessings. Amen. 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 Thank you.